and welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
What's so happy about it?
We're happy because Comic Book Chronicles is back. And I'm your host, Tim Fields, Double G. And I'm joined by the Grinch, a.k.a. Dirt.
Humbug.
And that's @PCN_Dirt on Twitter. And the popculturenetwork.com. Usually that'd be where the ding.
Yeah, our sound guy apparently fell asleep.
You're on mute.
Hold on, I am on mute because I'm still turning on things.
Because your mouth is moving, but no words are coming out.
That's what I get for, you know, like turning on like Hangout Toolbox lead.
And last but not least, Mr. Mute is also Agents_70 on Twitter.
Happy New Year, everybody.
And this is episode 51 of the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are recording live on January 2nd, 2014. I had to make sure I typed 4-3 when I was creating the event. But so yes, hopefully everyone had a happy and safe holiday season.
Make sure Merry New Year!
Yes, Merry New Year.
Merry New Year.
New Year, Merry. Make sure to go to the website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, and much more. Make sure to follow the Twitter account, @TheClickNation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitch Radio. Just search for The Click Nation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Just search for The Click Nation and join the community, The Click Nation community. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. And also start giving us good reviews on Stitcher and iTunes. We like those 5-star reviews. We do this for the people and for ourselves.
But of course, we want the honest 5-star reviews.
Yes.
Not those lying 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
Perish forbid.
So we took last week off for, of course, Christmas break. And so there wasn't much news at all because everyone decided to wait till the new year hit or New Year was coming up to start releasing news. So most of the news will be from this week. And let's see, first bit of news was Marvel teases a wedding in April. And originally when I jotted this down, there was just speculation on what this wedding alluded to. But today Marvel announced that it's for Deadpool. He's getting hitched.
To who?
Some woman.
An unnamed blonde. I think she's blonde, right?
Yeah, she's blonde. She's wearing a veil, so you can't see her face in the big, huge 200-plus character postcard thing that was revealed. But supposedly the Deadpool writers came up with it as a gag that I guess whoever's the editor on Deadpool ran with it and decided to make it an event. That's about the extent of what I read up on the whole thing. I was just like, oh, okay, because I don't read Deadpool.
You kind of got the feeling that it was a gag just by looking at some of those puzzle pieces that Marvel was putting out. Just from the art style, it was kind of Fred Hembecky kills the Marvel Universe style a little bit. A little reminiscent of that, so.
Yeah, that'd be one event I skip.
Still probably better than Age of Ultron.
Oh.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, but true.
As long as it's not another, as long as this event doesn't lead into another event.
Oh no. And the child of Deadpool.
Having two major Deadpool events in the same year. Naturally, speaking of Deadpool, this news portion of the show will have a lot of Deadpool talk in it, because Marvel also announced an original graphic novel for Deadpool, or that Deadpool's going to be involved in. It's Deadpool versus Carnage.
Right.
Yep. And more original graphic novel news. Marvel also announced that Jim Starlin is working on a Guardians of the Galaxy original graphic novel, and supposedly like two or three more OGNs.
More Infinity stuff.
The year of the graphic novel.
I am actually looking forward to the James Robinson, Grebo, whatever the painter, however you say his last name, the guy that did Secret War.
Oh, Gabriel Delato?
Yeah, doing that Spider-Man OGN this year. But anyway, back to the Jim Starlin. Yeah, so I think this one's called Infinity Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Starlin going back to the character he created, which is Thanos. And it's definitely going to be it's going to involve Guardians of the Galaxy, trying to hype them up for their movie debut. So that'll put them out there and kind of expand on what's been happening in the Infinity, kind of go forward from where Infinity left us. So, you know, anyone who's into the cosmic side of Marvel should definitely pick this up, because Starlin's been doing this for a long time with Marvel cosmic stuff.
It'd be nice if the comic book actually got better.
Oh, you mean the monthly ongoing?
Yeah, the monthly Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, we'll get to that this week. This week, some rough times going on in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep. And let's see, news. So Marvel decided to stop selling single issues of their comics in Barnes & Noble and Books A Million.
Does that affect any of us here?
Actually, technically, isn't it just like all newsstands? I mean, that was really what was all that was left. And they said they actually ended it like a couple, like 2 or 3 months ago, and nobody really noticed until now.
Yeah.
So was it really true? All newsstands? That kind of sucks. But I haven't gotten a comic off a newsstand in years.
I think every so often when there's like a big event, like when they were doing Death of the Family with Batman, some of those like crossover type books, it's like you sell out at your local comic book store and people, they're like, oh, well, I'll go check Barnes & Noble in a couple weeks and try to pick up a copy of, you know, whatever they missed there.
Right.
And that was really the only, you know, the only real market that they seem to have with those books. I'm a little upset that they wouldn't continue like the kids' books, because mm-hmm. I would think the kids' books would be like the key thing. You're going into a place like that, it's $2 or $3, you know, they can have a comic book. But I mean, overall, like, I understand why they're not doing it. It's not very profitable for them to do it on the newsstand compared to the direct market, because the direct market actually kind of sucks. It's right. You know, you order them and you can't get any more usually, and whatever you buy, you're stuck with. So you either order some and you have a bunch left over, or you order some and it's not enough and you can't get more. And that's generally the story of the direct market. Whereas on the newsstand, they just order as many as they want. Whatever doesn't sell gets pulped and trashed, and the newsstand doesn't have to pay the extra cash for them. So I don't know. Like, there are a lot of times I wish the direct market could work like the newsstand, because we get tons of stuff left over that I wish we could get rid of, but at the same time, it costs them so much more money to do it that way. Those right. direct markets where they make that profit.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but you also have not that it means that much right now, but you have the added benefit, if you can call it that, of having back issue stock. So.
Yeah, except you get to the point where you've got so many boxes of back issues that you have space for all your boxes, and you move into a store that's three times the size, and you lay out all your boxes of back issues, and you still don't have space for all of them.
Wow.
We just moved our store. That's why I'm thinking about this right now.
Yeah, I was going to save that to the end of news, but go ahead and let – I don't know if you actually want to let people know where the store is.
The website's still the same. You can go to shoppcn.com. We're the official store of the Pop Culture Network. But our physical location has moved to the Yard Shopping Center in Springfield, Illinois. So if you're heading down Wabash Avenue in Springfield, you can come check it out. But, we moved into
the capital of Illinois.
It is. And it's huge. We have all this space. And it's weird because in the old store, it's like new comics come out. And you try to face as many as you can so that people can see the cover. But, we ran out of space putting comics on the wall. And so you end up having to overlap them, a lot of times. Here, let me grab a couple. So, like, for instance, you've got some comics on the shelf. Are these? Wait, that one's upside down. There you go. You have comics on the shelf and you want everyone to see the covers. You want them laid out, but you run out of space. So you end up having to set them on the shelf like this, so it's kind of overlapping.
Staggering, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get so many of them that they start getting more and more like this space on the shelves. And so we ended up – we took a 12-foot section of wall, floor to ceiling, and we were just like, okay, now this whole section is just going to be for the independent books, not the Marvels, the DCs. They're just going to have this giant space. And we started laying everything out on the wall. It's like, okay, we don't have enough room for Dynamite. We'll pull out Dynamite. We don't have enough room for Valiant. We'll pull out Valiant. We don't have enough room for Antarctic Press and Zenoscope. And eventually this giant section of wall just became Image and IDW and Dark Horse. And that's it.
Yeah, I saw that picture.
Yeah, and even then they're still on top of each other in that space. Like there's so many books that come out and they do so many, three-issue miniseries and one-shots and everything that you're – trying to find space for everything. So we ended up with our old rack that we were trying to get rid of is full of comics of all the other independents. Plus we have this new spot on the wall that's just completely full from those three companies. Plus we have a spot on the wall for Marvel and a spot for DC, and then plus the trades and the hardcovers and the manga and the back issues and the supplies, the boxes, the bags, the boards. And the magazines. There you go.
There you go.
And that's just the comic section. Plus, we've got video games and movies and toys and music and, everything.
I was going to ask, do y'all ever do, since you have probably so many back issues, do you ever do like this whole box is $1 comics?
Actually, we have two long boxes that are all $1 comics. And we're getting ready to probably switch them to 25-cent comics something like that, and pull a bunch of back issues out and just dump them in there. Because one of the things we do at our store is we bag and board everything. Mm. So, like, the new comics, if you buy a new comic from this week, you get bag and board with it. And then when they go on the wall to their spots, everything gets bagged and boarded, when it goes to the regular spot on the shelf. And, that takes up a lot of space. Yep. That takes up so much added space to put bags and boards on everything. So we're probably going to pull out a couple boxes of back issues and debag and board them and throw them into the long boxes for the cheap stuff and just, make more space that way.
You should just have massive sales. You say, hey.
Oh, I would say we should have a dump bin. Just have a big bin. You just throw the comics in there, and whatever you pull out, whatever condition it's in, you can get it for like a quarter.
Yeah.
Hey, it'll help you get rid of stock.
If you got a comic missing the cover, maybe you can find the cover in there.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Just take it out the premises for us.
Seriously, I built up chunks of my collection in college by partaking in a sale from my local comic book store where I think the issues were, it definitely wasn't more than 50 or 75 cents an issue. And I was getting, but you were buying in bulk. You had to buy 10 or more to get, the better price. So that's, I think that's the best way to do it. I thought that was the most effective way to get rid of, back stock or heavy back issues and make some money off it. So
yeah, well, and also with comics, really, unless it's a book that goes up in value, like if it's something that has some demand, and you can sell that $3 book for $5 or $6 or $10 or whatever down the road, if it doesn't go up in value, then you basically lost money on it.
Right.
By the time it's bagged and boarded, it's sitting on your shelf, it's taking space, it hasn't mm-hmm. moved. You know, you've paid the overhead for the storage, you've paid for the employees, you paid for, you know, the rent and the heat and the electricity and everything else. So then by then it's just, you know,
it's a sunk cost, so you need to recoup some of that.
Yeah, or just liquidate.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, listen, good luck on the venture. Good luck on the new space.
Well, luckily, I'm not the owner. I'm just one of the key employees there. So if the whole thing goes under, I'm out of a job, but I don't lose my house.
You have to move into the store.
No!
Yeah, if he's living in the back room eating bologna and you know.
Sacrifices have to be made. Books got to be sold.
That's right.
So, got some Superman versus Batman, Batman, Superman, whatever, Justice League, whatever this movie's going to be called, news. I haven't even said what the news is yet.
Whatever it is, it's sad.
But actually, there's two bits of news now that I thought of it, because there's another piece I didn't write down. But the first one is, you know, is Denzel Washington going to be playing a character in the upcoming movie? So first there were the rumors he was going to be playing Lex Luthor. Then it was maybe he's the Martian Manhunter. Then it was maybe he's going to be Jon Stewart, Green Lantern. And then, I think it was earlier this week, The Rock tweeted out that he was meeting with Warner Brothers, DC, on a possible movie role. So is it for Lobo or is it for another character?
Not Lobo.
You know, 90s characters are back.
God.
Or is he?
He's not Lobo. 90s? He wouldn't fit the new Lobo, who's a hipster. Hipster Lobo.
Yeah, it'd be fun if they like redesigned Lobo in the comic books, and then they cast someone for the movie Lobo, and then it's still the same.
Right, the old fashioned Lobo.
Yeah, the old fashioned one.
I'm just trying to think of who he could be. Like, I can't think of a good.
Well,
fit
wasn't there
for
a
him.
Rumor that he was that they were going to do a Shazam movie? He might do that. You know, he could do Shazam.
Black Adam.
Right, or Black Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the villain? The only thing I had to say about it was, actually, for Denzel and for The Rock, it would make sense. It'd be prudent for Warner Brothers to snatched up like The Rock before Marvel gets the chance to.
Yeah, before they find a role for him, right?
Yeah. That's about the only thing I have to say. And then, of course, then I have to see who he actually plays, like you all were saying. So, who knows? I don't know what to make of that movie. The unnamed Superman sequel, a.k.a. Justice League. Let's see. Marvel announced that they're going to have a Captain America, the Winter Soldier one-shot to coincide with the Winter Soldier movie. The only reason I jotted this down was because one of my old favorite artists, Tom Grummett, is going to illustrate it.
Oh, okay.
From my old Superboy.
Sure, sure.
That's cool.
We all know, by the time Halloween rolls around, if, you know, they released movie stills from Cap Winter Soldier this past week in Empire, the magazine, mm-hmm. and they leaked online, and they look pretty good. You know Winter Soldier is going to be a pretty popular cosplay costume after, you know, after the movie hits. Look for it around Halloween.
But, I guess because the movie will come out in, what, the summer?
Yeah, spring.
Any other news bits I missed that you want to mention?
Let's see. Anybody? Viewer?
I've been busy. I haven't paid attention to hardly anything.
So that's
busy moving.
I guess the only other thing was part of that story with Marvel pulling the books from Barnes & Noble was apparently the rumor that they're going to eventually phase out Comixology. Which I don't see how that would work out for the best in the long run. There are basically two ways that the rumor goes, and one way is that they're going to stop using Comixology for their digital copies that you get with the code. When you buy the book, type in the code, get the free digital copy, and they might be cutting that out of the mix. And then at some point down the road, they may be getting rid of Comixology completely and no longer selling, and selling through their own dedicated app. And it looks like part of that rumor is that the Marvel Unlimited service, instead of it just being your like buffet style, you know, you pay your like Netflix rental fee and you can read all the Marvel comics that they have in their library, that instead they add to that the ability to buy single issues. So you'll be able to go into the Marvel Unlimited store and buy the new issues as they come out individually, or redeem your digital copy with the print book, as well as have that unlimited buffet-style reading. Mm-hmm. But one of the reasons why I like Comixology is because there's so much available from so many different companies. Like, I hate going to Dark Horse and dealing with their system just to get a Hellboy book. Like, I really wish that was part of that whole Comixology platform, because the idea of having – because then you only need one app
right.
on your tablet. You only have to worry about one place that you're going to and you know, redeeming codes and putting your stuff in. And,
right. It's almost like going to an online comic shop, and that's right. the point, right?
Right. It's all in one spot. So, like, if I'm traveling or something, I'm going to be somewhere where there's not a lot of internet service. I just have to have the one app. I can just download all of that stuff from the library and then take it with me and not have to worry about, oh, did I log into that account and download those books, because right. they're separate from everything else. And I think also when it comes to companies like, you know, Dark Horse, I don't think of them – you know, they don't do as much with having the digital codes printed in the books so you get a free – digital copy. They don't do as much of that kind of stuff. And when you're looking at the new stuff on Comixology, of course, they're not, you know, listed in the store. So, you know, a lot of times I just don't even think to go see what's in Dark Horse's
this week.
Digital store. Yeah, because right. you know, they put out, you know, a lot of back issues and stuff as well. And, you know, I've been reading a lot of Dark Horse stuff, you know, for 20, 30 years, whatever. And I'm sure there's some stuff on there that I'd be interested to read again. But the idea of like, oh, it's another place you have to go. It's another app you have to open. It's another thing you have to remind yourself to go check. Everything being in one place just makes so much more sense.
And absolutely. I will say, I could see the whole merging the digital comics into Marvel Unlimited. I could see that happening. It seems like it's primed for that to happen in the future.
Yeah. Well, it'd be real easy for them to implement, but cutting Comixology out of it would just suck.
Right. I agree.
Offer them both. Why not?
Yeah.
I will say, with the pulling the books from the newsstands and the Barnes & Noble Books Million and whatnot, that Marvel also pulled all the digital video games from like PlayStation Store and Xbox Live. Did y'all read about that?
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like Deadpool and Marvel versus Capcom and a bunch of other stuff,
really?
Games I don't play. Yeah, supposedly they like from Steam and whatever other video game digital stores there are out there, they pulled them all.
No and kidding. Before.
Our other co-host at Roddy Cat on his Twitter news account, whatever it's called. Hold on.
News nerds need.
News nerds.
For goodness sake, man.
Too much. Yeah, news nerd need. Okay, so Marvel games are because I retweeted.
Two plural words. News nerds need.
But the, see, it's that need at the end. That's not plural.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's two out of three.
It needs to be all one or nothing.
This from the guy who spells click for Click Nation, K-L-I-K-L-I-T.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that the Marvel Avengers Alliance game is still available in the Windows 8 store. So I don't know if that means anything.
Okay, so I tweeted it on the Click Nation account. Or retweet it with a question mark, because I was like, oh, that's interesting. So Marvel games are being removed from Steam, PSN, Xbox Live. Let me click on the link.
But still in the Windows Store.
Because no one checks the Windows Store. You have a Windows phone?
Tablet.
What kind of tablet? What is it?
Acer. And it's got the full... Acer. You can flip over, and it's got the full Windows desktop.
Oh, cool. I've got a work... what do you call it? Surface? Windows Surface?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Which I tried to use for a little bit, and I was like, I don't like this.
Although, is that the Surface RT or the Surface Pro?
It's the Pro, but it's the very first one.
Well, because the RT is a specialized version of Windows that only runs Windows RT apps, whereas the Windows Pro will basically put anything you can put on your desktop will run on that tablet.
Yeah.
So anything I use at home, I can use on there. Yeah, and luckily this is one. Some guy brought this in because it was broken and brought it to the store, and we fixed it, and then he never came in and picked it up. So it became mine.
Nice.
But
okay, so it says, Activision has confirmed that Deadpool is gone for good. We've also learned that other titles have been removed from the respective digital delivery services. So Spider-Man Friend of Foe, Spider-Man Web of Shadows, Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, Spider-Man Edge of Time, X-Men The Official Game, X-Men Destiny, and X-Men Origins Wolverine have now been removed from storefronts. If you have a desire for any of these games, it's recommended that you secure a retail copy as soon as possible.
Yeah, but technically only two of those are any good. So
yeah,
it really doesn't matter.
I mean, I have what I want already. You know. So.
And whoever Twinfinite noticed that it wasn't just Spider-Man and Deadpool that got the boot, but Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And so, there's like speculation of why they did it. And
right. One of the rumors is that Disney is trying to come up with their own way to distribute these games digitally. And right now what they're doing is sort of hoarding them and keeping them in-house until they're able to create a platform to distribute these games from, as opposed to doing it through all these different sites and these different means. So that might be in play.
That'd be a horrible mistake.
I think so too. I think the more they have it out there, the better. You know, similar to the comics thing that we were just talking about.
Yeah, that's the reason that's what made me think about it, because it's almost the same scenario. Everyone wants their own little. They don't want to play with the other dominant business or company. They just bring everything in house and create our own app or service.
Well, and another one of the digital comic places is Iverse. Iverse does the Comics Plus app, and they don't have Marvel or DC, but they've got IDW and Image and Dynamite and Antarctic Press and Archie and, you know, basically all of those indie companies, just not Marvel, DC, and obviously Dark Horse, who has their own outlet. And they focus everything on the iPad. And it's like everything goes to iPad, and then like an Android app exists, but it's not very good. It's kind of janky. It's not really supported. Yeah, and you say something to them like, well, you know, are you ever going to update this? Are you ever going to put, like, the HD comics in? Are you ever going to put, like, you know, smart panel reading, anything like that? And they go, well, you know, it's like iPad is really where we make the most money, so that's where we focus everything. It's like, well, of course that's where you make the most money because that's where you focus everything. You know, there are more Android tablets and phones out there than there are iDevices, but because that's where you put all of your work, that's where everything is shiny and clean and works and, you know, whatever. And then everything else, you just kind of throw, you know, whatever onto Android and just, you know, as long as it's barely functional, you call that your app. Nobody wants to use it, you know? So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy on their part.
It'd make more sense to focus on just Android and iOS devices and like ignore Windows or something like that for now. But they want to lose money, so. And before we're done with news, this is the final night of the Comixology $5.99 graphic novel sale for DC. Snatch you up some graphic novels. I got three.
No kidding. What'd you get?
I got The Dark Knight Returns, Blackest Night, and Kingdom Come.
I own two out of three in hardcover. In hard copy already.
And I'm debating getting Batman Hush.
3 out of 4. Me and digital comics, that's another story altogether. So I wanted to throw a couple things out there, not necessarily news. One thing that I just came across is that I didn't realize that Thor had been out long enough. The Thor Dark World had been out long enough that the Blu-ray release is actually next month, February 25th. Doesn't it seem like it's just yesterday it was out in theaters? I feel like I just saw it yesterday.
I haven't seen it at all.
So it's out on Blu-ray on February 25th, and it was a leak. There's been a leak from the British Board of Film Classification that the Blu-ray release of Thor: The Dark World is going to include a new Marvel one-shot, like a short film called All Hail the King. Spoiler alert. Oh, wait, wrong button. Hey, we're rusty here. Spoiler alert. So I don't want to talk about it since, you know, my man Dirt hasn't watched the movie yet, but
it doesn't matter. You're not going to bother me by spoiling it.
Listen, you should watch the movie. It's very good. It's one of the funnier movies
that I've seen. I didn't care much for the first one, and I've heard a lot of people say the second one is so much better than the first one.
Yes.
And it would have to be, I would kind of think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It can only go up.
Right. So, you know, it's definitely worth a watch, Dirt. And to all the viewers and listeners out there, you know, like I said, it does seem like it was just yesterday this movie premiered in theaters, and the Blu-ray is coming out next month, late next month. So be on the lookout for that. And speaking of, I don't know if this will fall into news. I just wanted to, if we're done with news, are we done with news, Tim?
Yes.
I just wanted to throw out something. This is something that I emailed Dirt about this week. It's one of my semi-resolutions for 2014. It's about organizing my comic book collection. And I wanted to throw this out to the listeners and the viewers out there. If anyone out there uses a program, not just a spreadsheet, but one of these programs to organize their collections, tweet us at Comic Book Chronicles, hashtag Comic Book Chronicles, or at Agent_70, and let us know what you use. Because I'm thinking about investing in Comic Base. So let us know what you use to organize your physical comics, if you organize them at all.
Actually, I did talk to a couple people. Both of them use Comic Collector Live.
Okay.
Is the program that they use.
Is that like an online thing?
Yeah, you can type in the title of the book and the issue number, and it can pull up all the information. Or if you've got a barcode reader actually attached to your computer, right. I guess you can scan the barcode and it'll pull up the information. Right. And it can do stuff. If you number your boxes, you can assign which box it's in. So if you don't have everything alphabetized and you're looking for a particular book, you can just look it up and it'll tell you box 59, and you can go over and grab box 59. You know it's in there. Gotcha. And if you loan it out to somebody, you can put a little like tick mark on it, whatever, and who you loaned it out to and on what date, whatever. So you can run your own comic rental service, I guess, if you wanted to. But yeah, I talked to a couple people that use that one.
No kidding.
I guess it's probably cheaper. That's probably why.
Yeah, Comic Base is expensive, and that's why I needed to get some feedback from people who might use it or use other things before I plop down the money to do this. I do like the barcode scanning bit, you know, so that you can just, you know, you can do it. I mean, listen, you can sort of you can just sort of like go through a list, a checklist, and say I have this, 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 or this. But I think it's more fun to just pass it under the scanner. You know, and just do it in batch, you know, batch scanning.
Like at the grocery store?
Yeah. You know, beep, 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 you know, you get the comics, you know.
And the same company apparently also does like a movie collector, a CD collector, record collector, you know, magazines, whatever. So they've got a bunch of different stuff like that. Right.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the cheaper versions, well, options, that is. So I'll keep that in mind. Thank you for your survey group for their input. And like I said, all you listeners and viewers out there, let me know if you're using anything to organize your physical comic collection.
All right. So let's see. We'll start with some of the books from the 12/24. round, which actually wasn't a lot at all. We had Avengers 24 point now. Forever Evil number 4, Justice League 26, and Wolverine Origin 2 number 1. I read all four of them, thankfully. That's what.
That week wasn't all that hard for all for us to read.
I need more slow weeks like this. Compared to,
actually, I only read two of those.
Only two of them were worthwhile. Well,
come on. Can we get a shout out for the return of Hickman Mumbo Jumbo?
Yeah. And the Hickman Mumbo Jumbo actually wouldn't have been so bad if there was like one consistent artist on the whole book.
Hmm.
Even though I did like 3 of the 4 artists.
I thought the art was good. Just was like you said, it wasn't consistent.
So Avengers 24 point now was sort of a time travel-y issue where I think it was the year 30 something.
In the year 30 something.
And there was an Iron Man and a Franklin Richards or some Richards person, and the Iron Man character went back to our present day to warn the Avengers of an Earth, a rogue planet being hurled at the Earth, so the Avengers had to stop it. And along the way, I'm trying to remember, how did they stop? Oh, the rogue planet merged with the Earth somehow? I didn't understand that part.
Mumbo,
you said you read this, right?
Jumbo.
Yep. Just because I read it doesn't mean I understand it. I read East to West every week, and I don't know what the hell's going on in that book. It's funny, I asked someone on Twitter, I was like, explain to me what's going on in East of West. She explained it all, like, fluidly, and I was like, oh, okay. I would have never have pictured that. But anyway, the rogue planet is somehow, like, mirroring the Earth somehow, and it can be, like, used as a defense system.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was some mumbo-jumbo right there. I immediately thought of you when I was reading this. There's like actually a great scene in here though, where Hyperion gets to do like some Superman style stuff, you know, like he's literally pushing against the rogue planet, which I kind of got a kick out of. I was like, oh, look, Hyperion gets a little bit of shine.
How come anytime they have like a person pushing like a planet, they actually show the planet is like a big ball. Like if you were pushing on the Earth, it should just be a picture of you like pushing on the ground. So like a big ball in your hand. Am I right?
Absolutely. That is comedy.
So yeah, that happened. And that was pretty much it. I couldn't tell. It was do your little ding ding for spoilers.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I couldn't tell from Salvador LaRocca's artwork if the Iron Man that when the Iron Man from the future took his helmet off, if it was a he or a she.
I think it's supposed to be a she.
Really? Because I thought it was, but it seemed like from the dialogue, it sounded like it might have been a guy, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So
I'm looking at it now.
Like it looks
my
like,
gut says she.
Yeah, visually it looks like a she, but from the dialogue, it kind of looked female, or dialogue made it seem like a male.
Could be the ambiguously androgynous Iron Man girl.
Maybe everyone in the future sets that all the sexes merge somehow. Just have like, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe you said androgynous.
Androgynous.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem. I'm reading the dialogue. It doesn't seem over so masculine.
In the future, everyone's David Bowie.
Oh.
Yes.
That's funny.
So that's Avengers 24 point now.
Mumbo jumbo.
Mumbo jumbo. There'll be some more mumbo jumbo when we get to. Was it this week's books? Yes, this week's books.
Yeah.
But Let's see. The other Marvel book last week was The Origin 2, Wolverine Origin 2, number 1, which I read out of a whim. And also because it was only like 4 books last week, like I said, from the, at least from the major 2, put it that way.
Right.
I think Boom had like 2 things. But Wolverine Origin, this continues, I guess, whatever happened in the Origin 1, which I am
Whatever reading. Happened? Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Wolverine's origin being revealed. His name's James. James Howlett.
Yeah, that, I'm not even going to ring the spoiler on that one. If you...
yeah. So basically,
yeah, figured it out by this point.
This was Wolverine living in the woods with wolves. And a bear is involved. The end.
I read this, and I had a really hard time figuring out why.
Why you read it?
Yeah.
Probably because the art looked nice.
Like, yeah. I thought it was all in the presentation.
He's sitting in snow. Oh, there's wolves in snow. There's a bear in the snow. There's trees in the snow. They're fighting in the snow.
They're sharing prey.
Just, man. Right, but you didn't get, did you get the last hint on the very last page?
What, the apocalypse wolf?
No, on the very last page, on the bear. What's the bear has a tag on it?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's also a wolf in the forest watching him that has that apocalypse. Or wait, is it apocalypse?
Sinister.
Mr. Sinister, yeah. Has the Mr. Right. Sinister diamond on its forehead.
Right.
And why does Wolverine have, like...
tribal markings?
Yeah. Is that something I missed?
Oh, you got me.
Sinister!
There's some sinister happenings going on.
So that's, Wolverine Origins.
For origin, I mean, was there anything about his origin really in this? Was there anything?
This was just like a standalone.
More retconny, right? It's more retconny, filling in the gap type thing, you know.
I was gonna say this was just like a solo story. It's not even like retconny or anything. It's just like a story that from his past of him in the forest. It was funny, when he was fighting the bear, it kind of reminded me of like a battle between him and the Hulk, visually. That was my first thought.
Did the Hulk ever bite him on the neck?
Probably. All right, so then to DC, they had Forever Evil number 4, and bringing up my memory, Batman took Catwoman to the Batcave. Lex Luthor plotted with his Injustice League, I guess is what maybe their nickname is. We saw some more. Was this the issue, or was it might have been Justice League that went into the mind of the Grid a little bit? I think it was Justice League.
It was Justice League.
Okay. What else happened in this?
This is where Batman is meeting up with Lex Luthor, and he's got all of the different weapons to defeat the different villains. Like he's all the stuff that he has to defeat the members of the Justice League. He's trying to figure out what he can use to defeat the members of the crime syndicate, and he has the Sinestro ring, and so it barely has a charge left, but he puts it on, and you get the Yellow Lantern Batman.
Page.
But yeah, and then it runs out of power, but it's enough to call in the actual Sinestro. So now Sinestro is part of the League of Supervillains, the Legion of Doom, I guess you could call them, from the old cartoon. You'll have the Legion of Doom versus the Crime Syndicate.
And was it also Justice League that had the origin of the Green Lantern?
Yeah, Power Ring.
Power Ring?
Yep.
Okay.
And that was in Justice League.
So, yeah, Justice League had Power Ring origin and the Grid's origin. Well, not or the Grid's internal dialogue. I think that's all that happened in that. So that's Forever Evil.
And no, that's Justice League 25. We're talking about 26.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What the heck?
Oh, yeah, the wrong cover up there.
It's all right.
There we go.
See, I told you, we're rusty.
Well, it's also you went back a week, and I always dump out the folder, so I was trying to grab the stuff and throw it back together so I could
gotcha.
pull up some of the old folders or old covers.
Okay.
But I have to say, like, overall, I like the Forever Evil storyline in general. I just hate the fact that it's being dragged out so much.
Yes. Like,
that's my whole problem with it.
It's technically in four different books, seven if you count, like, all the Constantine and Phantom Stranger and Pandora and everything like that. But it feels like it's just taking so long to get anywhere. And the rest of the books of the DC Universe, for this being like this big, momentous, world-changing event, none of the books have caught up to it yet. So it's like when you read Aquaman, none of the stuff from Forever Evil has happened yet. If you read Nightwing, none of the stuff from Forever Evil. Batman is doing 0 years, so none of the stuff from Forever Evil. It's like nothing else except these books are doing it, and it's still going to be, three more months before it finally gets to the conclusion, which would then be the point, I guess, where it's going to affect the rest of the DC Universe. So, I mean, it's a cool story, but it's just, it's kind of hard figuring out where everything's going to fit together and just waiting for it to, you know, get to that conclusion. Like, it's hard to see it working towards anything because it's taking so long to move along.
I think, you know, to a certain extent, I think a lot of us benefit from it not being that heavily a crossover, that we can just read the Justice League book and the Forever Evil limited series and sort of maintain a grasp on the story. But my grasp on the story is very tenuous because I'm having a lot of trouble, you know, just paying attention to it. You know, there's a couple of nice little twists in these two issues that are kind of keeping my attention. But, you know, I'm like, I don't understand why it's taking so long for them to get to the point where they're making their attempt to rescue the Justice League from, spoiler alert, the fury of Firestorm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why is this taking so long? What is going on with this?
I think also part of the problem is, like, they're the three spinoff books, Rogues Rebellion, Argus, and Gotham. Was it Gotham City War? Is that what it's called?
Arkham War. Something like that.
Arkham War.
Right.
And it's like Arkham War should be going on in the Batman books. Argus should be going on in Justice League of America. Rogues Rebellion should be going on in Flash. Like, those are the books that should be happening in the mainstream DC universe. And as part of the event, it should have taken over those books because those are the worlds that those tie into. And instead, they shunted them off into those side series. So again, on the one hand, you can choose to ignore them. But, like, there is stuff happening in Rogues Rebellion that feels like it's going to affect what's happening in Flash. Besides just the fact that they're the, the main villains of Flash, but, you know, those characters are as much a part of the book as Flash himself is. And when you read stuff like the issue of Flash that came out this week, we'll talk about in a little bit, but it's a book where really nothing happened. And if they had made it a tie-in book, if they had tied it in with the Rogues and everything, then it would have been a much better story than what we ended up getting.
I will say, just that whole your dialogue just reminded me of something. You know when Scott Snyder tweeted like a picture of some new woman that Dustin New, how do you say his name? Dustin Nguyen.
Gwyn.
The N is silent. Okay, Dustin Nguyen had, I guess, created some new female character that's going to be appearing, and they decided that like right before 0 year ends, they're gonna do like an issue that jumps ahead in the future, and then the following week is like the end of 0 year, and supposedly like Scott Snyder was like he decided to do it for the fans or whatever. So that tells me that they were like, oh crap, 0 year is gonna end before Forever Evil ends. We need something to fill the gap. So 0 year ends right when Forever Evil ends. To make it, you know, because everything's all the comics are supposed to be like finishing their storylines in April or whenever Forever Evil ends.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that was the reason for it. Not that that's a big deal, but I'm putting the pieces together.
By the way, Dork Geek has tweeted at us, Forever Evil still makes more sense than Battle of the Atom. And it's more fun.
No, I say and it's more fun.
Dirt says and it's more fun.
And it's more, I say and it's more fun.
And Dirt responded and it's more fun.
Yeah, you and can't see me on the screen, so I'm actually playing on Twitter while you guys are talking.
I was going to mention it. I will say that, like, Justice League Dark, I kind of want to get into that book, even though I have my hatred for magic. But the art is good, and at least during Trinity War, when I read it for that, it seemed like a fun book. So I know they're doing all that Blight crossover and all the, like, Phantom Stranger and who's the lady? I can't think of her name.
Pandora.
But someone's telling me just to wait until Forever Evil's over, then start Justice League Dark. And Justice League America, I just stopped reading that because I'm tired of the travels of Martian Manhunter and Stargirl. And I'm thinking I'm not a fan of Matt Kent's writing. I think I'm learning. But you were gonna say something in Dirt.
Was Justice League Dark came out this week?
Yeah, I'm actually gonna read that book since you made it available.
Yeah, actually, it was pretty good.
Really?
We'll talk about when we get to it.
Okay.
But yeah, and like I've said before, I read the first issue of the Arkham War, and I stopped reading that because trying to narrow down just to get to the important stuff to read. So Forever Evil, Justice League, the Rogues Rebellion are the only Forever Evil books I'm going to read besides this month's Justice League Dark. I'll try that out. But that was all of last week. So now we can get to this week.
Okay, so now I gotta switch to the other folder.
While he's switching folders, I will say I read Guardians of the Galaxy number 10 from Marvel Comics. This was a mostly Gamora and Angela story as they were on some planet that the Badoon is from, I believe it was. And they shot and they were trying to free slaves, I believe.
Right.
And I can't remember how it ended. There goes my memory again.
Yeah, nothing much happens.
It's pretty much like every other Guardians of the Galaxy book. It's been unmemorable.
Yeah, the artwork was really good.
Oh, yeah, yes, it was.
Agree with that.
That's another thing. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing for Guardians of the Galaxy, how they've had the rotating artists. Because supposedly Sarah Pacelli got sick earlier last year, so that's the reason
they had some fill-in issues. And, right.
Yeah, so she got sick.
Right.
Well, I didn't want to say it since I don't know for sure. But yeah, like they've had like six different people have drawn issues of Guardians of the Galaxy. It feels, right. And then for the free comic book day, like Nick Bradshaw is gonna come on and draw an arc probably, and I enjoy his art. I'm not sure if I'm gonna like it on Guardians of the Galaxy though. We'll see.
I mean, ultimately, right, you know, the problem with Guardians of the Galaxy is right now what they're trying to do is integrate Angela. They're trying to make her, you know, interesting because she's, I guess, going to be an integral part of this team. And there's going to be a little bit of turnover in the team, or at least some additions to the team that we've seen in the tease for the free comic book day stuff, right? Isn't that where they add the new team members?
Yeah.
So,
and then they probably change Peter Quill's outfit to match the movie.
Right, to match the movie. So right now, I mean, this is sort of like a placeholder issue. I don't want to say it's a fill-in. You know, it's because the
everything
next
felt like fill-in.
Right, because, well, you know what it is? Because they didn't have much of a role as, they're called the Guardians of the Galaxy, but they had almost zero part to play in Infinity, which is the weirdest thing, right?
Infinity ended, and then their last part of the tie-in came out the following week.
Right. And now, you know, we've had this issue, which, like I said, kind of serves to flesh out the Angela character a little bit, and then they roll right into the all-new X-Men crossover.
I am looking forward to that, though.
Right, but at the same time,
from the X-Men side.
Right. But at the same time, it's just not giving, you know, the Guardians book, you know, a real direction or any kind of space to breathe. You know, like I said, you would think that a team called the Guardians of the Galaxy would have a prime role to play in a crossover called Infinity.
Indeed.
So that's my rant about the direction of the Guardians of the Galaxy book.
And Dirt Geekers does agree that at least the Guardians of the Galaxy art is good. And Horace_0, going back to Justice League and Forever Evil, he says, so Justice League Forever Evil is like how many books ahead of the DC Universe? Like 9 different storylines? I'd be upset, man. That's slow. Yep. It is. Let's see. Go back to the folder. I read that. I read...
Well, New Mumbo Avengers. Jumbo. You want to do the Mumbo Jumbo?
New Avengers number 13. Art Mumbo by Jumbo. Simon Bianchi and Jonathan Hickman writing. So this we got the Illuminati from Earth 20 something or another. It was like 5 different numbers.
23099.
Yeah,
yep,
whatever.
23099.
And they were getting together to stop an incursion. Is that what they call it?
Yes.
Incursion. And they stopped. They all died.
No. Right. They had to reveal the next bad guy. Because if you recall, what was it, the last issue? The .inh issue. What was this lady's name? Black Swan?
Mm-hmm.
She was going on and on about how, oh, you thought the builders were bad. There's, you know, there's all these groups and powers out there that make the builders look like, you know, like wimps. And one of them is the Black Priest, and we are introduced to the Black Priest characters in this issue, and they're just a bunch of, you know, more cosmic level bad guys, and you know they run roughshod over this Marvel 23099 version of the Illuminati and just destroy them all. So, you know, this issue serves to kind of establish that they are a force, definitely a force to be reckoned with. And what we see at the end of the book, spoilers, is that the 616 Marvel Illuminati see all this happen. And
oh, is that what I was supposed to take from that?
Right. They see everything that happens to this Earth and what happens to that Earth's version of the Illuminati and the effect the Black Priests have. And I guess they're meant to take away a lot from just watching that happen.
Yeah.
And hopefully to learn lessons.
Once again, I had no idea that's what was happening. Yeah. But what I took from it, the last page, it made it a lot newer. They were going to step through whatever portal and go to that. Wherever the Earth 2033 99 or whatever Earth it was called, till they were going to go to their Earth. I didn't know if they were sitting there watching it.
Well, but. Spoiler alert! They weren't going through that portal since the other Earth was blowing up. So, you know, they were basically watching it. So that's what I took away from it. And we'll see what the next issue brings, but. I'm reading this and reading the Avengers 24.inh. Definitely, you know, we're definitely back in the mumbo jumbo realm of Hickman writing.
And Dirt has nothing to add.
Nope, not a thing.
All right. I think that was it for Marvel that I read. Looks like it. Yeah, and that's actually all I read this week. I read half of Aquaman 26.
Oh, I didn't. I started that. I didn't get to it. Did anyone read The Flash?
Sound like
Dirt did.
Go for it, Dirt, and then I'll chip in.
Kind of like what I started to say earlier. It was a nothing issue. Mm. This villain appears and she's stealing some germs, and he's got to stop her and get them back. And Flash, for a long time, has had these big plot threads and these. You know, ongoing arcs and they've switched the creative team up, and Christos Gage is now writing it. Neil Goog, I guess, or is he the Googe? I don't know how you'd say that.
I'm sorry to butcher this man's name.
But in Gage said that's only he's, like he's a the Googe issue.
He's the Googe.
He's the Googe. So Neil Googe.
Anybody who remembers Different Strokes will get that reference. Oh, my goodness.
But, I mean, it was one of those issues where it's just he's chasing this villain, and at the end he catches her, and that's, like, the end of the story.
Right. There's a couple of cool moments in it, but, you know, ultimately it is kind of a – it's an okay one-and-done issue. You know, it could have been better as a one-and-done.
I guess
what you're not liking about it.
The one thing that really kind of struck me when I was reading it is I could see if you were going to do a TV show of The Flash, let's just say for the sake of argument, you're going to do a show of The Flash. This would be an episode of the show. Like, it's entirely contained, and I could see how they were trying to do some of the spectacular effects, and they were trying to explain how some of his powers work and how – on the one hand, certain things are a benefit, but at the same time, they can be a drawback, you know, and it felt like it was one of those trying to explain the character for new readers. But at the same time, it felt like it was really kind of cut off from everything that had kind of built up before it. So maybe that's part of a new writer coming in and kind of getting his feet on the ground and wrapping himself around the character. But it really feels like this was separated from everything that came before.
Is the art good?
Yeah, the art was good.
It's okay. It's okay. It's definitely expressive and it's stylistic.
I was going to skip it if not, but I may just skim read it.
Right. Like I said, it's expressive. There's definitely a style to it. I thought that, you know, this is I thought it was a nice change of pace because, you know, it is one and done. And you don't have to kind of dive into an arc to get, you know, to get into the way the new writer Christos Gage is writing the character. So that's kind of refreshing. But, you know, it was kind of a throwaway villain. I don't know if she's ever made an appearance before. So, you know, I'm not 100% sure if this is the first appearance for this villain.
Yeah, I don't recognize her, but, I mean, she very easily could have been in a throwaway issue in the 90s or something, you know what I mean?
True enough. So, you know, that being said, you know, I agree with everything you said about it being, you know, very reminiscent of, like, a one-hour show or even a half-hour show, TV show. And, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing. I would be willing to give this book one more issue to see where the story goes.
Something tells me that because Christoph Jay's, I think he said he was only doing this issue, and that they may have him fill in or have someone else fill in until that the magical was it April or March whenever Forever Evil ends. And they're probably gonna wait till after that ends to let whatever new permanent writer take over. I wonder if that's the goal and the plan. I guess we should know, because once February comes, we'll have the whatever.
The solicits.
We'll probably reveal who the new writer will be. Hope it's someone good, because I actually started reading The Flash. I liked it under Man in the Pool and
whoever. The other guy. Yeah,
the other guy. Brian something. I get him and the Wonder Woman writer confused. That's Brian Azzarello. Brian Buccellato.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, Buccellato, yep.
They were fun. I'll be reading their Detective Comics when it starts. Let's see.
Nobody read Superman Unchained number 5?
It's on my list.
Yeah, I have it. I just haven't had a chance to get to it yet. I've been moving the store.
I was about to say I don't want to go too much into it because I read it rather quickly today. There was a lot of wordiness that I just did not want to sit down and read. I kind of skimmed through it just to see, oh, okay, this is what they're jibber jabbering about. And you know, there's a couple of nice flashback pieces in there. There's a guest artist that does the flashback sequences. Jim Lee does the art for the present day stuff with Wraith. And this this terrorist slash group, you know, this terrorist group, and it's kind of Ascension, it's called. It's kind of silly. Who does it? Who does the no, Dustin Nguyen. Right, yeah. Dustin Nguyen does the flashbacks.
Tim's favorite.
That's yes. Right.
I do like his art.
Right, so it was definitely an interesting issue. I'm going to have to give it a much more careful second read, but it seems to be moving things along. There's a little bit of a back and forth between Wraith and Superman in this that caught my attention, which was a lot more interesting than the wordy exposition that Snyder sticks in like right at the beginning of the book, which I found interesting. I mean, it's the you know, it's the back and forth that I found interesting. And the book ends, you know, on kind of a cliffhanger style note. So you definitely want to tune into the next issue. So, you know, it's kind of an uneven grade for me for this book.
Is that Goku on the cover?
Is that? No, that is Lois. That is funny.
Really? Say something, Dirt.
What's a Goku?
Ah!
I had no idea that was Lois. I actually thought it was just some. I had, when they were showing the solicits and the cover and whatnot a month or so ago, I thought it was like some new character.
The thing that's really sad is that because it was Christmas, they shipped out all the books that came out on Christmas Eve, like a week beforehand. And then last, I think Friday is when we got the books for this week. And so I was real excited that we were getting all these books early. And I was going to have them in my hands and I could sit there and read. And actually, when I was doing the inventory on all these books, I had like, I don't know, a dozen or so set aside. I was going to read all this stuff. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we have to move the store. So I've read like 4 comics in the last 2 weeks. I mean, I just haven't had time to do anything.
I have been enjoying Superman books lately, like Superman Unchained and especially Action Comics. Greg Pak and Aaron Cooter.
Read Superman Wonder Woman, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, I'll read that, too. Yeah, that's good, too. Glad you reminded me of that.
Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah, that's been good the last couple of issues.
I did actually read whatever the latest
issue. That's Greg Pak, too, right?
That's Charles Soule.
Oh, Charles Soule, that's right.
And, but yeah, Superman Unchained, I don't know.
Too much jibber juggling.
I'm just not sold on Wraith as the character. Yeah. Like, he just kind of comes out of nowhere, and I expected him to do something big, and instead it's just kind
of. He's like another Dragon Ball Z reference. He's like Brawly. This big, dumb, strong guy that can threaten our heroes.
Yeah.
What's a Brawly?
Libby, is that you?
Exactly. That might be it for this week.
But see, like, there's a bunch of stuff that I wanted to read. Like, I wanted to read Red Lanterns, but I haven't had a chance to get to it yet. I wanted to read Damian, Son of Batman, haven't had a chance to read it yet. I wanted to read Superman, haven't had a chance to read it yet. He-Man Masters of the Universe, they finally got a decent artist on it, so I wanted to check that out again, haven't had a chance. Wanted to read Aquaman, didn't have a chance to get to it yet. I did kind of skim through Green Team because it's wrapping up and I wanted to take a quick look at what was happening on it. But basically what I've gathered is the rich kids, you know, bought all this tech so that they could become superheroes. And now they're infected with nanites and the nanites are actually giving them powers. So instead of them having control on this tech, suddenly the tech has taken over them and they can't control the powers anymore. So it's interesting, but it's one of those I need to sit down and give it a little more attention than I had. I did read Justice League Dark, and that one, looking at the cover, this is the Aquaman from the Crime Syndicate universe. And so I thought this is going to be like a recap of his history and everything like that. But instead, basically, you know, he dies when he comes through the portal at the beginning of the Forever Evil crossover. Mm-hmm. And when they dump his body into the ocean, he basically sinks into this mystical pre-Atlantis civilization, and he's his body is just kind of trapped down there, and the ghosts of this ancient civilization are able to somehow manifest themselves, take over his body, and kind of reanimate him. And to make a long story short,
really,
But to make a long story short, Dead Man, actually, when everything went down in the initial attack with the crime syndicate, Dead Man actually hid in the body of this Aquaman. But because he was so evil and so dark and twisted, it screwed up Dead Man's mind, and he was, you know, so overwhelmed by all the evil that he just couldn't focus and bring himself out of it. And John Constantine casts a spell to get rid of the other souls that are in there, and in the process traps Dead Man within this Aquaman, evil Aquaman body. So right now, this evil version of Aquaman is a part of the DC universe, and Dead Man is alive inside this guy's body and can't get out.
Dead Man is alive and dead Aquaman. I love it.
That is, I thought that was a fun twist, and I did enjoy like that part of the storyline. Like getting to that point, there were so many hoops that they went through and so many silly things that kind of happened to get them there. But now that they're there, I'm really looking forward to see how this plays out. I hope this is not something that's going to wrap up like in the next issue. Like I'm hope this is an ongoing. I hope Aquaman and evil Aquaman, you know, have a very awkward meeting between the two of them at some point down the road.
Interesting. You know, we actually skipped over that I read from last week. I think it was last week. It was from Dynamite. It was Robotech and Voltron.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody? Children of the 80s. Calling all children of the 80s. Robotech and Voltron. This is actually kind of cool. Do you have a cover for it, Dirt?
I'm pulling it up. Give me a second.
Thank you. So, in the meantime, there was a couple of nice shout-outs to the cartoon. The art was okay. It was relatively consistent in terms of the characterization of the Voltron characters and the Robotech characters. It's as with all crossovers, the stories are kind of – there we go. The stories are kind of contrived. You know, that's just the way – that's just the nature of the crossover, right? So, you know, the reason for these characters, stories intertwining, it's kind of hokey, but at the same time, you know, it's definitely got an interesting premise, and it does leave on a cliffhanger. So if anyone is interested in these properties, definitely pick this up. I think it's definitely an interesting story that will draw me in for at least the second issue. We'll see where it goes.
I'm not as big of a Robotech fan as I am a Voltron fan. So
Same here.
I understood vaguely some of the stuff that was going on with the Robotech side of the story, because really the story is set up like the first half is a Voltron story and the second half is a Robotech story, and then they're going to, you know, meet at some point.
Right.
But the Voltron story, it's weird because they've really kind of worked over the last few years trying to build this Voltron universe that kind of ties the original 80s cartoon with the new cartoon that was on Nickelodeon a couple years ago. And then the Dynamite had their Voltron 12-issue series, and then had the Year One series. And they've been trying to kind of canonize all of it and bring it all together. And this story in the Voltron universe, it's kind of randomly set at some point in the past, and it doesn't look like it's really connected. It's more of one of those, like maybe
it's a one-off type, right? Yeah, yeah, it's a one-off type thing. There's definitely some time travel involved in this, I think. You know, I foresee that being an element.
Well, I think it's supposed to be that Voltron's at the far end of the universe. Like this is, there were the two Voltrons. You had the near Earth Voltron and the far galaxy Voltron with the lions and. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be as much time travel. It's just like they're going to bridge the one part of the galaxy with the other part of the galaxy. I don't know. But I'm also wondering if this is going to be some sort of like wink and nod where because of the Robotech tie-in, the technology from Robotech is what's going to lead to the near-Earth Voltron, which is the one that was the helicopters and the vans and all of those that became a giant robot. I'm wondering if that's somehow going to get a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge out of this series.
Interesting. But I enjoyed. I'm in the same boat. I am not that big a fan of Robotech. It's not a resolution per se, but it's on my list of properties to kind of catch up on and try to, you know, trying to watch, you know, more of the cartoons and maybe read up on the comics a little bit. That's on my list of things to do. And, you know, this is sort of a, listen, it's not a primer. It's not even an introduction per se, but, you know, it's a nice addition to, it's a nice crossover. Let's put it that way.
Well, part of the thing with Robotech is when I got into Robotech, they were producing like these movies on VHS,
right.
And the movies on VHS were actually different parts of the TV series from Japan, kind of cut up and re-edited.
Right, held it together. Right.
And they worked as their own standalone movies, but then once you tried to get into the series, they didn't make any sense at all because they had redubbed certain parts and they were using certain characters in ways that they weren't really in the series. So then once I tried to actually watch the series, I was really confused because it didn't make sense. So I just have a hard time trying to get back into Robotech in any form because I remember those, you know,
right, like the Macross saga and stuff like that. And you know what? I didn't really watch a lot of that stuff, and maybe that's why I'm more willing or better able to get into the original iterations and the translations. So, you know, like I said, it's on my list of things to kind of explore this year and going forward. So it's nice to see it crossing over with a property that I'm familiar with and I have a lot of love for.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, this was a fun book and I do look forward to reading the next issue.
Cool. See, we got our not quite mainstream book in there.
Yeah. I know I was a big Voltron fan growing up, but I know zilch about Robotech.
Well, then it's perfect. You won't be confused at all.
Exactly.
All right. So click of the week time. Or click of the week, past 2 weeks.
Yeah, click of the past 2 weeks. Interesting.
Yes. Yes. What do I want to pick? It's kind of a slow week or 2 weeks. And also, since I didn't read too much.
Well, here, wait. Let me ask this before we jump into that then. Am I the only one that read Twilight Zone number one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I liked it on the one hand, but I didn't like it on another hand. It was a good somebody gets their dream fulfilled, but of course it doesn't play out the way they expect. But it didn't feel true to the tone of Twilight Zone. It felt more I don't know what's the right term for it. It's like they tried to make it kind of edgy. And they tried to make it more, I guess, mature, I guess, is if you want to say it's more for older readers. And so, to me, it kind of lost. The Twilight Zone, on one level, it's very innocent. And then there's like a dark twist that comes to it, whereas this felt much more dark.
Okay.
And it had a dark twist to it. So, like, I enjoyed certain aspects of it, but at the same time, to me, it felt like it kind of lost some of the some of the tone that Twilight Zone really had. Like, it felt more like one of those 80s direct-to-syndication Twilight Zone episodes, not really like it felt like one of those classic, you know, black and whites.
Gotcha. Click of the week. It was tough.
Yes.
I'm looking at my list. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know if I'm the fan of any of this stuff.
That's about how where I'm at. I don't know if I'm going to pick anything this week.
Yeah, that's kind of tough.
That's
a heck of a way to start the new year, right?
Do I have to pick something?
I don't know if I have Click of the Week for the last 2 weeks. Jeez.
Even Aquaman, so far, I'm kind of like, eh.
I didn't read it this week.
There's two artists on it. There's two artists on it, I see. So it's not all Paul Pelletier.
Pelletier, maybe? I don't know. Pelletier.
Oh, actually, I have one. I'll pick a click here. Maybe if I can get it to come up.
Actually, I got one, and I haven't read it yet, but I'm sure I'll love it.
Oh, now that's just cheating.
Nuh-uh.
That's funny.
If I can get this stupid thing to load.
Well, I was about to say, you got it to load?
I got it, finally.
All right, go ahead.
All right. This is actually, maybe. This is actually a book from a company called EMC Squared, L. McPherson Comic Squares. This is called Hyde Number One, and this was a Comixology Submit small press digital book that went through their submission process, where they allow, you know, basically nobodies who put a book together can submit it to Comixology, and they pick basically the cream of the crop and make them into these Comixology releases. And in this particular story, you've got kind of the all-American family. You've got the mom and dad who have the loving kind of snarky relationship with each other, like sitcom parents. You know, there's the boy who's getting ready to have his 16th birthday. He's going to be trying out for the football team. His dad's supportive of him. He's got a little sister. They're just kind of that all-American family. And the boy goes to sleep one night, and when he wakes up the next morning, basically all the adults on Earth, everyone over 16 years of age, wants to kill everyone under 16 years of age. So he steps out of the shower, and his dad is trying to beat down the door and club him to death with a baseball bat. He runs out into the hallway, and he runs past his sister's room, and his sister is being stabbed to death by their mom. He freaks out and runs outside, and there's a police car driving down the road, and this little kid runs up, and he's like, "Grandpa's trying to hurt me. I don't understand what's happening." And the policeman just pulls out his gun and shoots the kid right in the head. It's very dark and very, you know, you have that kind of twist on that idea of, you know, suddenly one day you wake up and the world goes wrong. That same idea with, you know, any of the zombie type movies or Invasion of the Body Snatchers or any of those type things. But the difference here is age. So basically the most naive and defenseless and weakest of society are now vulnerable at the mercy of the strongest and most intelligent and the most resourced parts. And so it changes that dynamic, and it really does make it a whole lot creepier and a whole lot scarier and a whole lot more terrible. So on the one hand, it's like the most awful thing I've read in a long time. But on the other hand, that really made it work and made you scared for the characters. And, you know, you really want the kid to survive and get away because of all the terrible things that are going on. So on that hand, it really works out well. The story was really well done.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's EMC Squared Company, and that's Hyde, not spelled H-Y-D-I, but H-I-D-I.
Yeah, Hyde, isn't like hide and get away, yeah.
Hide and go seek.
What's your click of the week?
All right. The Agent underscore 70 click of the week. I'm just going to go back to what I was just talking about. It was Robotech Voltron number one. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Just because I enjoyed it probably more than anything I read the last 2 weeks, you know, especially given the mumbo jumbo. So from Hickman, I think I had the most fun reading this book, and that's why it's my click of the week for the past 2 weeks for the holiday season.
And like I said, I'm gonna pick my click of the week is gonna be a book I haven't read yet, but it did come out this week, and that is Superior Foes of Spider-Man, number 7. Because every issue of that book has been enjoyable so far. So I'm sure I will enjoy that one.
Sounds good.
That came... No.
Didn't that come out this week?
I think it comes out next week.
Really?
No, let me check the...
You muted yourself, Agent 70.
Did that come out this week?
Or did
I thought I saw it on the comic list.
I thought I did too. And I saw someone tweet that they had they read it Tuesday and enjoyed it. And I was like,
oh.
I was like, oh, I thought I missed that one. And they were like, no, it came out today. It's like, oh, okay.
Huh. I think that one completely missed my radar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's out on the comic list this week. Marvel. Yeah, Superior Foes of Spider-Man, number 7.
The cover looks nice. It's like one of those painted style covers. I should have made that the post for this show.
Huh. We got shorted on that one.
Oh, you didn't get it?
No. I'm actually checking our
Diamond.
Diamond invoice here, and
some calls will be made tomorrow.
Someone's getting their knees broken.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, so that should sum up tonight's show. Well, thank you all for tuning in live, or if you're listening on the podcast or just on the YouTube channel.
Right, right.
I want to remind you all we're live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can just stay tuned to theclicknation.com. And, of course, follow me on – I'm at TimDOGG98 and at theclicknation. Dirt is at PCN underscore dirt. PopCultureNetwork.com. Agent 70 is at Agent underscore 70 on Twitter. And our other host who's working tonight, Roddy Cat, is at Roddy Cat, RODDYKT. And his news Twitter account is at News Nerds Need.
Yay!
First two plural, last one singular. So once again, thank you all for tuning in. And we are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace!